biases. Bye bye, el hecho. Adios, baby.
El UFO.
Tequila, ahí lo guacho.
Okay, we got our dose of Frampton and we got our dose of Two Guys in Wendell. Two Guys in Wendell covering I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Rye Cooter before that with El UFO Cayo from his album Chavez Ravine. Don't know the vocalist on that. And Gus Bodenheim questioning the legitimacy of WFMU's musical offerings. Let me think about that. Anyway, Gus should be back next week. Hopefully he will move beyond his bereavement over his dear departed pup, Pumpkin. And we do again send our condolences out to Gus Bodenheim and all the Bodenheims over the death of Pumpkin. My name's Irwin. I'll be back next Wednesday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It will not yet be Framptuary. We will be on the cusp of Framptuary next week. Stay tuned for 7 Second Delay with Ken and Andy. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org.
Greetings, 7 Second Delay fans. Andy is not here live tonight. He, much to his dismay, keeps getting nominated for awards that he cannot possibly win, but is then obligated to fly out to LA to lose. So that's where he is this week at the Producer's Choice Awards, which he will undoubtedly not win. So as a result, we bring you two more listener quizzes tonight. A quiz from listener David in Queens on the subject of historic pornography. And following that, I believe we have listener Fred quizzing us on the subject of art history. But first, it's David and the history of porn.
There's a man who leads a life of singers. Everyone he meets, he says a singer.
We're back with another 7 Second Delay quiz, now with David in Ridgewood. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Ken.
You have a beautiful, beautiful studio there. We're watching you on Zoom.
You. Well, David is prepping for his career in podcasting.
But he already has a podcast. He must. Everybody in America has a podcast, Andy.
I met a man without a podcast. A couple weeks ago.
No, you didn't.
Well, he has a podcast by now.
Yeah.
But at the time, he didn't have a podcast.
Okay. Very funny.
The last podcast in America.
And David, you've been participating in 7 Second Delay events and stunts for many years now, right?
Many years. I first met Uncle Andy at McDonald's on the New Jersey Turnpike in, I think, 2003.
Oh, you were at that show. I remember.
We were buying our listeners milkshakes.
And fries. Little tummy
sharp. Not just milkshakes. Milkshakes and fries.
Yeah.
Was that the Garden State Parkway? Was that the Garden State Parkway?
I believe so.
Yeah. And then
that was back when I wasn't adverse to meeting our listeners in person.
And then
yet acquired the current level of fear.
I think you had a game of tug of war at a McDonald's on the Garden State Parkway once, Andy.
Those were the days.
Was a later event.
Or a snowball. A snowball fight. Funny. And now we actually have a game of musical chairs coming up at Monty Hall in February.
What's the insurance issues with that?
My God, I was thinking the same thing. The waiver we'll have to sign. I mean, we're going to have to be so careful. It's full body contact musical chairs.
Well, pads, elbow braces, helmets.
Yeah, we're providing knee pads and elbow pads and boxing masks and 16-ounce gloves, by the way.
And what strength? What strength? The stun guns? What will we be allowing?
4.0. We're not monsters. All right. So, David, tell us what you're going to be quizzing us on today.
Well, in honor of Andy's traveling and thus the moratorium on the masturbatorium, I have 10 questions about pornography.
Excellent.
Ken yells excellent.
All of them fully airable, FCC compliant.
A quick impression of my friend Ken. Buzz, excellent subject.
Well, Andy, you're the one with the masturbatorium.
Oh, my God.
I don't have it. I actually do not have a dedicated spot for watching my pornography.
I know that he's always. Yeah, I know. David, he's always at my house. Are you using it? I just need 10 minutes. 10 minutes in there. This is my impression. Okay.
I wish you hadn't gotten rid of the window. I was able to sneak in there until you bricked up the window. Why did you need to do that?
I learned a lesson. They no longer will build a masturbatorium with a window. They actually learned the lesson.
Wow. So I saw one of the last ones. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you did.
There was a class action suit, I assume.
This is already just so stressful.
Why?
Because my kids listen.
Yeah, but they're all watching porn themselves now. They're all old enough that... You don't have any pre-porn kids anymore, Andy. Don't you realize?
I don't even want to respond to that.
Andy,
joke.
Your kids are seeing stuff at age 11 that you didn't see until you were 60 years old. Suck on that.
No. Oh, no. Oh, Ken, you're gonna really win. Okay, I'm ready to go. I will overcome my discomfort. I will let it go.
It's informative as well as exciting. Question one. What book is considered to be the first original pornographic novel in English? It was first published in England as Memoirs of a Woman of Pleasure.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
It is one of the most prosecuted and banned books in history.
Yes, Buzz.
Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Lady Chatterley's Lover
by D.H. Lawrence.
That is not one of the three options.
Oh, we didn't even.
Buzz. Story of
Multiple
O.
Choice.
Story of O.
Is it Clarissa by Samuel Richardson?
No one's
Fanny
ever heard of
Hill
that.
By John Cleland, or The Adventures of Peregrine Pickle by Tobias Smollett.
Buzz. I'll buzz. I've heard of Fanny indeed. Hill. I'm gonna guess B.
That is correct for 1 point for Andy Breckman.
Oh.
I am curious, David. These are great questions. That was a great question. The other two options, did you make them up or were they real?
No, those are real. Clarissa is a novel from the same year as Fanny Hill, and so is The Adventures of Peregrine Pickle, which I thought might have lured someone. 1751 for that.
Wow. And what year was Fanny Hill?
1748.
Really? And what happens? What happens in Fanny Hill that's so damn pornographic?
I can't say I've read it. It's kind of a coming of age novel, apparently.
So with, there's,
you know, and it's a potboiler.
And this was based in Fanny Hill was set in colonial America.
I think it's in England.
Okay.
It was the author was charged with corrupting the king's subjects.
Yes, I bet you there were.
And then, if you, I will very quickly determine whether it's a book I'm interested in reading with one question: pictures.
Some editions, yes.
Some edition pictures. Yeah. Okay, I'll check it out.
Question number two, also historical: what was the first adult erotic film depicting explicit sex to receive wide theatrical release in the United States?
Buzz.
Was it?
Buzz. I am curious yellow.
That is not one of the three options. So are we penalizing him for pre-buzzing?
I think he blew it there.
I did.
Oh, but by that logic, then I blew the first one with Lady Shatterly. So I'll give
us both. Let's let David do his list.
We'll do the multiple choice.
Okay.
Was it A, Deep Throat by Jerry Gerard? B, Blue Movie by Andy Warhol? C, Modern Swedish Love by Ingvar Smolund?
Can I guess again?
Yeah, you can. You haven't buzzed
go
in.
Go ahead.
You've buzzed in already.
I'll buzz. And because it's counterintuitive, and I respect David's slyness, C. My answer is C.
That is incorrect.
What were the first two?
Let me finish. I'm just thinking out loud. Okay.
What were the first two again?
The first two for Ken are A, Deep Throat, or B, Blue Movie.
Well, Warhol would never have received a wide theatrical release, so it's got to be Deep Throat.
Incorrect.
Oh, it was Blue Movie?
The first wide theatrical release in the U.S. that had actual sex in it was Andy Warhol in 69.
And that that received like nationwide distribution?
Yep.
Wow.
He was already that well known that he could command that kind of distribution. Wow. Okay. Another reason why Andy Warhol is a historical figure.
All right. The score is -1-0. Andy is winning.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh, you're being very, Ken, you're being generous. You're being very generous about that. Okay, ready to go.
Which Supreme Court justice said about hardcore pornography, I know it when I see it? Was it A, Justice William Rehnquist, B, Justice Harlan Stone, or C, Justice Potter Stewart?
Buzz, C.
Yes, Ken. Correct for the point, Ken.
All right. There we go. I'm back at zero.
The case was Jacobellis versus Ohio. It was 1964.
Oh, by the way, the complete quote is, I know it when I see it. And oh boy, I'm seeing it now.
Actually, the quote is, but I know it when I see it. And the motion picture involved in this case is not that.
Hey, what was the motion picture involved?
That's the next question.
Okay.
What motion picture was Justice Stewart referring to? The state of Ohio declared the film obscene.
Buzz, Silver Streak with Jill Clayburgh.
It is not one of the options.
Oh, sorry.
The three choices are The Lovers by Louis Malle, Viva Maria by Louis Malle, Pretty Baby by Louis Malle. One of these three films was declared obscene by the state of Ohio and was overturned at the Supreme Court. A, The Lovers, B, Viva Maria, or C, Pretty Baby.
Okay, well, Ken, you're going to buzz in?
No, I was hoping you would.
I'll buzz in and say, okay, Pretty Baby, that's kind of controversial because the star was so young, of course.
Yeah,
right?
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields was so young, but I don't believe, I would have heard about it if that was a Supreme Court case. So I'm going to say A, The Lovers.
That's 1 point for Andy Breckman.
All right, way to go, Andy.
I just know I would have heard more about Pretty Baby if it had been a big case.
Yeah.
Okay. So Brooke Shields was not alive in 1964.
Right.
Oh, of course. That's of course. How old was Brooke Shields in Pretty Baby?
I do not have that information.
Wasn't she like 10 or 11?
Yeah. She looked 12.
I'm sure it's in her. Didn't she publish an autobiography a couple of years ago?
I have a question about her autobiography.
Yeah.
Pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then I'm going to check that out.
Comes with 3D glasses, as a matter of fact, Andy.
I know it when I see it in 3D.
All right. The score is Andy +1 and Ken 0.
I can't believe that's true. Because I can't believe I know anything about this. Okay,
well, I'm not penalizing you for all your joke buzzes when you try to answer the question before David's
You're being very...
Yeah.
You're being
We're playing strictly Scandinavian here.
Yeah, strict Scandinavian rules. Okay, here we go.
Question four. Who said...
Oh, no.
Sex, a great and mysterious motive force in human life, has indisputably been a subject of absorbing interest to mankind through the ages. It is one of the vital problems of human interest and public concern.
Buzz, Ben Affleck?
The options are A, Margaret Sanger, early 20th century birth control advocate and founder of Planned Parenthood. B, Dr. Alfred Kinsey, noted American researcher on human sexuality. Or C, Justice William Brennan, who sat on the Supreme Court from 1956 to 1990.
Okay. Ken, you buzzing in?
I'm going to say Margaret. Yeah, I'll buzz in and say Margaret Sanger.
Well, that's not right.
That is incorrect.
That's incorrect because, Ken, the last answer that David gave was A. Ken, you're not even... David mixes it up like that. Okay, the correct answer, because it sounds like a judge's decision to me, I'll say it's a C, Rehnquist, a decision.
That is another point for Mr. Breckman.
There it is.
But wait, Rehnquist? Was that?
Yeah.
It was
no, Brennan.
Yeah.
Oh, Brennan.
Because Andy said
Brennan.
Rehnquist.
Yeah. Well, but I knew it was a judge's decision.
All right.
He was going with C, I
think.
We'll
let you have it, Andy.
All right, Brennan.
You're very, very sportsmanlike.
He is. He's a good man.
Andy's 3 points ahead now. And we're up actually round six coming up.
Anyone that says Ken isn't a good man, a good, decent man, I will pee on that person.
Andy, do you know what deep fake is?
Not because I love Ken. I just love your name.
apparently on people, apparently.
I'll urinate anywhere.
Oh, you don't have a preference?
It's a hobby and a passion.
Well, it's a bot.
Deepfake. Do I know what deepfake is? Well, I guess I know. It's been in the news. Yeah, I do a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So we're leaving the past and entering the present. So Ken will probably be able to catch up here. The New Yorker reported on a review of nearly 15,000 deepfake videos found online.
Wow.
What percentage of these 15,000 videos were pornographic?
Wow.
Was it 28%? Oh. Was it 60%? Uh-huh. Or was it 96%?
Buzz. Yeah.
Yes, Ken?
96%.
That is a point for Ken.
I would agree with, that's kind of a gimme, if you don't mind my saying.
Yeah.
That's what people do. They put Princess Leia back in movies, and then they fake celebrity sex.
The key word in that question was pornographic. That's the tell. That's the giveaway.
We're halfway through.
Okay.
Well, pornography.
By the way, these are very thoughtful questions.
Thank you.
And Ken and I really appreciate it.
Pornography always drives innovation.
Well, that's actually, I'm going to skip ahead to a future question on that note. What publication once proclaimed pornography to be the low-slung engine of progress? Was it A, the New York Post, B, Harper's Magazine, or C, the New York Times?
Oh, I'll buzz. Okay, so we're eliminating the Post. The Times would be the conventional wisdom. So I'm eliminating that. And I'll say Harper's Magazine.
That is incorrect.
I was joking. David, you don't even know when I'm joking. Ken, you got that joke, right?
I'm going to say the New York Post.
That is also incorrect.
Oh, it was the Times? I like how Andy and I don't want to give the Times any credit.
Exactly.
Any credit at all?
Any credit? More credit than they are.
I actually ruled out the Times when you said that line because it wasn't badly written enough. So we're both wrong.
Pornography drives innovation.
We both got a negative point.
But pornography drives innovation, but it doesn't always use its blinkers. just to completely confound that metaphor.
We have one more historical one, I guess.
Oh, David, you're the best.
In 1969, what country became the first to abolish censorship and legalize visual pornography, which arguably led to the explosion of commercially produced pornography? Was it A, Denmark, B, Sweden, or C, Holland?
Buzz.
Yes.
Well, when I was growing up, everyone was talking about Swedish movies, and that would be my guess, B.
B, that is incorrect, minus 1 point.
I'm going to say Denmark, then.
That is 1 point for Ken Friedman.
All right.
My God. Well played, my friend. Well played.
And we are
That's
back at
why I made up Modern Swedish Love by Ingmar Smolund. That is not a real movie.
I was cashing in on
that Swedish thing.
Did you make up the name Ingmar Smolund?
Yeah, I did.
The score is 0-0.
Ken, aren't you glad you asked that question before you offered the man a slot on WFMU, Ingmar's Corner?
Yeah.
Now you know it's fictional.
All right. According to the Journal of Sex Research.
Oh, my subscription ran out like 2 months ago.
Bad timing. Men watch porn at what ratio compared to women? Is it A, 20-1, B, 8-1, or C, 4-1.
Buzz. So of those numbers, 20, 8, and 4, which is the larger number?
20 is the largest.
That would be 20?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll guess 20.
That is 1 point down for Andy Breckman.
Ooh, Andy goes into negative numbers. I'm going to say C, 4-1.
That is correct. Ken takes the lead.
Gals like the porn, Andy.
I should pay more attention to my wife, Beth, and what she's doing, what she's doing after dinner. She goes upstairs for an hour.
Oh, she's not watching porn then, is she?
I've never asked her. But apparently, if that answer is correct, the odds are there.
Well, that's, you have to resubscribe to the Journal of Sex
Research.
Andy,
I can't believe you let your subscription run out, man.
My problem with that journal, not enough pictures.
Somebody must be cutting them out, because I have plenty of pictures in my copies. Maybe your son or your daughter?
My mailman is going through my journal.
Ah, that explains it.
And sending the pictures to you.
That's right. Your mailman is one of those perverts, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Pantsless Joe delivers our mail every afternoon.
Oh, my God. You have Pantsless Joe, too? I can't believe that. He just keeps getting fired and they transfer him to a new town.
I know. I call City Hall every day. Would you ask our mailman to please wear some pants?
Oh, they're just going
to... He doesn't even wear those short ones?
Jorts.
Those jorts.
I beg him. I bought him jorts.
Now, since you're going to be traveling, are you Airbnb-ing the masturbatorium, or is it going to be fully mothballed?
I put it. It's if, in case our listeners are listening, there's a triple locks on my master suite.
Oh, really?
No,
yeah. Because what's happening to your kids while you're doing all this traveling, Andy?
They are in the masturbatorium at their own request. Triple locked in.
Locked in. Okay. And you have some way to get them food and water?
Oh, thank God we've had this conversation. That completely skipped my mind.
Yeah, man. It's like they're not hamsters. You gotta do more than poke a couple of holes in the roof.
So you're saying, and just to get it clear, feed the kids. Feeding the hamster is optional, if I understand you correctly.
Well, yeah, and also you can leave a whole bunch of lettuce for the hamster, but for the kids, I think you need somebody to bring them food.
Quick impression of our guest David right now. They can't go on like this forever. They have to stop talking soon.
Good thing David has a camera so you can read his mind.
Was I right, David? Was I close? Do I get a point for that?
You saw that I was silently whistling.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't bring gum in like a fool.
Exactly.
Well, we have about 4 or 5 minutes left here.
Okay, so maybe a couple of questions. And you know what?
Two, two remaining questions. Ken's got a slight lead.
Okay. Okay.
Plus one to negative one.
I've got to bear down. I've got to sweep these last two questions to tie. Yeah. Go ahead.
At any given second of the day, it is estimated that there are approximately how many unique visitors currently viewing porn? Is it 18 million, 30 million,
this
or
world
60 million?
Buzz. Was the last answer 60 or 16?
60. Yeah, 18, buzz. 30, or 60.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
And then are you asking worldwide or are you asking in Madison, New Jersey?
This is global.
But this is global.
Yeah, I'm going to say 60.
That is 1 point down for Ken.
Oh no! You're kidding.
You could tie it.
Wait! I could tie it up with this question.
You could tie it.
So the two remaining numbers are what?
18 and 30.
This can't be true.
Hold on. Wait. And there are 8 billion people on the planet, right?
Yeah. Although not all of them have wireless.
Right. If you had told me if 8 billion was one of your guesses, I might have guessed that.
But you can watch porn on Ethernet.
That's true.
Okay. What is the higher of the number there of the remaining numbers?
I believe
the higher is B, 30.
Okay, I'll guess 30.
That is 1 point for Andy Breckman.
Oh, we're tied. Ken, we've never been in this position. This is like overtime, sudden death.
Yeah, it is sudden death.
Last question.
And it comes down to a question designed to bother media mogul Andy Breckman.
Oh, no.
Hollywood produces about 500 movies and TV series in a year, generating about $9 billion.
98%.
In comparison.
98%. Is that the answer? Oh, I thought you were going to ask how many of them suck.
No, it's not about suckiness.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Withdrawing. Go ahead. Here we go.
In comparison, the professional pornographic industry generates how much? Is it $8 billion? Is it $13 billion? Or is it $34 billion?
Huh, that's a great question. Because there's no
global. You're talking about globally again.
I think this is actually probably based in the U.S.
Because you're asking in dollars.
Right, and it says Hollywood is $9 billion. So they're not talking about the global production of mainstream film.
Okay, I'm going to take a shot, even though it's sudden death, and it might be more prudent to hold my fire. I'm going to say the higher number. Was that $34
billion?
I'm going to say the lowest number, $8
billion. Well, you both lost a point. It's tied at negative one.
Wow.
It's $13 billion.
Wow.
Oh, we've never tied before. This actually feels great.
No, this is the
appropriate, Ken, to tie on this subject.
Can we have one more sudden death question?
I should have prepared an extra question.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Now, David, why you told me earlier why you prepared this pornography quiz. Why did you do it?
I don't remember what the inspiration was. I for a couple of occasions years ago, I had had trivia contests at birthday parties, and particular one, I did one about popular celebrities about whom I knew nothing, one about pornography, what the other topic was, but it's just a, you know, sort of deep dive research.
You know what might have inspired David? You know what might have inspired David here, Ken?
What?
Women.
Women?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Good point, Andy.
Naked ass women.
So, David, have you decided what your new podcast is going to be called?
We're currently, the working title is Walking the Weird.
Walking the Weird. And what is it?
Discussions of 19th century and 20th century weird fiction.
Wow, that's great. All like 19th and 18th century horror fiction?
Yep.
Oh, that sounds great.
Wow. Wow, fantastic. That's a good, I like that title too. It's memorable. It's great.
All right, we are out of time. David, thanks so much for the quiz today.
My pleasure. Sorry you tied.
No, I think it's great. It's refreshing. It's exciting.
Yeah, that's okay. Now we're going to say goodbye to you, and now we're going to leg wrestle to figure this
you
thing out.
To break the tie?
Yeah.
Leg wrestle.
Do you even know how to
really,
leg wrestle?
If you really do have leg wrestling skills, you have a big advantage in our musical chairs contest.
Well, I'm going to be the referee. I'm going to be one of the referees at musical chairs. I wouldn't dare use my leg wrestling skills in that venue. All right. Thanks, David. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, man. Talk soon. Pleasure. Thanks, David. You were terrific.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Andy and I are... That was a pre-recorded listener quiz in which listener David quizzed Andy and myself on the subject of porn. And up next, we are going to hear listener Fred from Washington pivot to art. Andy and I are here with listener Fred from Washington with another 7-second delay quiz. Hi, Fred.
Hi, how are you, Ken?
Good. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
And what do you do in Washington there?
I retired. I got smart and retired during the pandemic. I spent about a couple of decades teaching college students the history of art.
How'd that go for you?
Well, it was fun while it happened, you know.
No, I'm being serious. How was that?
Yeah. I've
met the kids. I've met those kids. I know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I've been there.
Okay, then.
Hey, Ken, and I guess this is also, I'll open this up to Fred as well. Have you ever seen me floss?
I never have, actually, no. And
Nor have I.
Oh, this is me flossing, Kenny.
Yeah, maybe this is why Zoom was invented.
Oh, no, I think it's really great zooming in on this, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Andy, I think you just missed one.
Thanks, brother.
Uh-huh.
This is why Zoom was invented.
But you know, you're going in and out of camera, so I can't see what you're doing when you get a really big chunk in your flosser there. What are you doing? Are you sucking it back in and eating it and swallowing it?
Yeah, it's called dessert, Ken. It's my
because a lot of people would throw those away.
I know they would. Yeah. I'm sure they would. So Fred's been teaching art history, and now he's going to. Now, are these questions that you've put together, Fred, these 10 questions, a dozen questions, are these questions that you've used in your class, or are these questions that you sat down and conceived just for us?
Questions are way too easy for anything I would ever use in a class, actually.
Oh, no, that's it, man. It's on.
I figured I'd, you know, go with the lowest common denominator.
Well, that's good.
By the way, I've taught lots and lots of kinds of students. I've taught some very smart students, and I've taught some not so smart students. And so wherever you are, don't worry, I'll just slot you in.
That's fine. Okay. Well, if you grade on a curve, I might be okay.
We're like
we're
like the not so smart students, but maybe a little bit taller.
That's the impression I have. Yes.
And we have
I've been listening to you for a while now. After all.
And we have less gunk between our teeth.
Well, you Thanks. Do. I haven't yeah, flossed I yet. Do. Yeah.
No, you haven't flossed yet. That'll be our big finale.
So, Fred, the way this works is Andy and I will say the word buzz, or I will say the word buzz. Andy has some kind of buzzing device that he uses.
I wish I did. I don't, actually.
And whoever buzzes first gets a shot at the question. If you get it right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you get a negative point. And then the other person can take a shot if they so desire, but they can pass as well.
So if Ken is wrong, don't correct him because I would have a shot at answering the same question.
So I'm very good at not correcting people.
I'll bet you were a great professor. I'll bet you were. I could already tell.
I wish I was better.
I've got the right attitude anyway. So wait, so Ken, are you going to keep score?
Yeah, I'm keeping score here.
All right,
and then I'm going to keep score too. Keep Ken honest.
Just the kind of guy you are. Okay.
Exactly.
All right, Fred. Okay, so, let's start. Give us the first question.
Okay, art history. Ken, how do you think you're going to do on art history?
Not very well. I don't know anything about art history. Even though I did take an art history class, I hated it and don't remember anything about it. And it was also only about medieval art.
That's the spirit. We always love hearing about that from our former students.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your first question. Designed for any moron, really. One.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
One, what is the 19th century French art movement famous for putting together tiny dabs of paint on canvas to make scenes of landscapes or people, etc.?
Buzz.
Yes, Ken.
Pointillism.
Wrong.
Oh, God.
Wait. Close, though. Very close.
Wait, I know. Wait, Monet was a practitioner of this, wasn't he?
And what was the name of it?
It was Impressionism. Wait.
Very good. Andy's got it.
Oh, yes. Man. Andy's two ahead of me now.
Actually,
oh, that's right. That's exactly right. You lost the point. I would like, now all I have to do now, my strategy has just changed. All I have to do now is stall.
No.
All I have to do is stall for 25 minutes.
So Fred, was Seurat considered an impressionist and not a pointillist?
Well, actually, that Ken, you're so far more sophisticated than Andy in his answer. As a matter of fact, actually, you were exactly precisely right in a way that was far more erudite than I expected either of you to have.
Oh, I should get it right then.
You totally should get it right then.
Wait a minute.
Put it this way.
Here
are the four. I was going to make this multiple choice.
Okay.
And the multiple choice would have been expressionism, impressionism, realism, or colorism. But strictly
pointillism. Wait. Shouldn't we factor this in? The word pointillism is a word that Ken just made up on the spot.
Actually, Andy,
from a strictly scholarly standpoint, that is a complete lie.
Well, it's a lie, but I don't know if it's a complete lie.
I got it too. I got the question too right.
Pointillism does not exist, Ken. Pointillism is a made-up word.
I think Ken should get like 1.5 or 2, actually. Andy should get 1 because he had something, but Ken should get extra credit for this.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm getting +2. I'm putting down +2.
That's what you should do.
The important thing is I've been flossing every day.
Exactly.
All right.
Next
I don't
question.
Know what the score is. Well, okay, now we're completely off the.
It's
off
2-1.
Fine.
Speaking of which.
Pointillism. I didn't know you were allowed to just make up words.
Who was the artist of this group who became obsessed with painting water lilies?
Buzz.
Well,
yes.
Well, I'll say Monet.
Well, I was going to say Monet also, but you buzzed before.
I buzzed before you.
Yeah, you buzzed before he gave us our choices.
No, it wasn't multiple choice.
He said which of the following group? He was about to read a group.
That's right, exactly.
Oh.
I'm going to take that point.
Well, that wasn't my fault because I wasn't listening. You can't blame me. I wasn't really paying attention.
But Monet is correct, though. Right? Monet is correct.
Monet is correct. Monet is the right answer.
Look, if we're really going to drill down into this, I believe I deserve extra credit for knowing the answer before I heard all the choices.
Wow. Try telling that to your professor sometime.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think I am, actually, right now.
Yeah, and you're not doing so well, may I say.
Okay, fine. Okay, I buzzed too early. Fine, I'll take a negative point.
No, you didn't get it wrong, no. So let's just put you down at 0.
Exactly.
Whatever makes Ken happy.
That's the fair answer.
I was born to make Ken happy.
That's clear. Okay.
That is weird, believe me.
Yeah, it is
okay,
weird.
Okay, we're rolling. Okay, so this is question number 3. Now I'm gonna pay closer attention, be more attentive. I'm gonna follow the directions better.
Yeah, maybe stop flossing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I will, Ken.
I've never had a student flossing during an exam, I have to say. And you're not an advertisement for it, Andy, let me tell you.
No, I don't think If I was a professor and I saw students flossing, I'd quit right there.
Yeah,
right
does your wife let you floss in public, Andy?
Does my wife let me floss in public?
Yeah. Like if you're sitting at a table with a bunch of people eating and you're flossing, will she encourage you to stop?
Well, I can't speak for other women. It happens to make Beth horny as hell.
I see.
Does it matter whether you're using a mini flosser or a full length of flossing tape?
No.
Wow.
She's nuts for it.
Man, you married the right gal.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Our first date was quite memorable.
Did you show up with a roll?
I did.
Yeah, I can see that. You should learn to do what the French do, which is you keep a hand over your mouth while you do it.
Those little babies.
That's what the Impressionists did.
Yeah, that's what the Impressionists, like Monet.
Yeah, exactly.
Now here's an interesting hole I've dug for myself. I don't know the names of any other painters or the name of any other art movement than Impressionism and Monet.
All right.
I'm fired. I'm out of ammunition.
I'm home free.
Exactly.
That's why I did the test the way I did.
Okay, we're ready to roll. Is this question number three?
Yep.
Question number three.
Okay.
What is the largest art museum in America? The National Gallery of Art, the Metropolitan Museum, the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, or the Art Institute of Chicago?
Let me just say these are very thoughtful and interesting questions.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to buzz because I'm behind and I need to throw a few Hail Mary passes. I'm going to say the largest art museum is the Metropolitan in New York.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That.
All right. It's almost a tie ball game.
It's a little unfair. I was in it and it was big.
You got it.
What was your favorite part of the Met, Andy?
Oh, no. I just walked in. I saw how big it was and left.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't.
A lot of people do that.
I have a life, then. I'm going to walk around a museum all day.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
makes
right.
Makes sense to me, huh? Okay. Question number four. What is the largest art museum in the world?
Ooh.
The Prado in Madrid. The Hermitage in St. Petersburg. The British Museum in London, or the Louvre in Paris?
Buzz.
Yes?
I'm going to say the Louvre.
Right.
No.
You got it. Ken's doing great.
Okay. Buzz, the Louvre.
Very good. Very good, Andy.
Okay, we're both right. and that's the secret to my success in college.
Yeah, I could see that.
I wait for the smart kid. I wait for the Asian kid to answer.
How long did you last in college?
Over 2 months.
Really?
Yeah. Over 2 months. I got past the 2 month mark.
No, I can tell.
The secret is you don't sit right behind the Asian kids. Then you can't see the paper. You sit catty corner. If they're right-handed, you sit on their left and behind them.
You weren't using mirrors or...
No.
Secret cameras or anything like that?
No.
No.
The secret is you wait for the Asian kid to sit, and then you sit behind him to the left.
You know that Woody Allen joke about how he cheated on his philosophy test at NYU by looking into the soul of the boy next to him?
Yes. Great joke.
That's the kind of thing Andy would do.
The great joke. Okay, we're at question number five.
Question number five.
Completely lost track of the score, but we're okay.
Okay. Who was the architect of the house called Falling Water? Was it Mies van der Rohe?
No!
Frank Lloyd Wright? Wright Lloyd Frank?
Oh, yes.
Or the guy from Poco?
Buzz.
Yes?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Right.
Well, wait a minute.
What?
That was the only real name on the list.
No, it wasn't.
Timothy Schmidt was on the list.
Yeah.
The only real architect's name.
So was Mies van der Rohe, actually.
That's like saying, Ken, here's a multiple choice question with only one choice. Good luck, Ken. That's stacking the deck.
Well, you could have gotten it easily, just as easily, couldn't you?
No, I was too busy rolling my eyes and groaning.
You can't do the two things at once, yeah.
Exactly. I roll my eyes, then groan.
That was my parking alarm going off a second ago, in case anybody heard that.
I see. Okay, ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, number six. What is the earliest monument built on the Washington, D.C. Mall?
Great question.
The Lincoln Memorial. Thank you. The Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the Washington Monument, or the Vietnam Veteran Memorial?
Buzz.
Yes.
Yes, Andy.
Right. Andy's got it.
Yeah.
Good job, well, Andy.
I just chronologically, Washington came first. I don't know.
And no, Washington and Jefferson were contemporaries.
That's exactly right.
Oh, Thomas Jefferson.
Yep, Thomas Jefferson.
Who'd you think? I see. I'm
which Jefferson did you think? George Jefferson?
I thought I meant George Jefferson from the show.
Oh, I thought you meant Eddie Jefferson. One of my favorite jazz singers.
The great scat singer, yeah.
That's right, exactly.
He was a good scat singer, I'll give you that.
Oh, you don't think he wasn't one of the greats?
I don't throw the word great around like some people.
Who's your idea of a great scat singer, Andy?
Oh, I guess Jefferson.
All right.
I'm not a big fan of scat singing.
Oh, I am. I really am.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't drive you?
I'm not a big fan of discussions about scat singing.
Well, then you don't have to have one.
Then you're going to love the next discussion.
Uh-huh.
Because we're not going to talk about scat singing at all.
I can't wait. WFMU, scat singing free since 83.
Oh, I wish. How I wish we were free of scat singing.
Scat is brilliant, really, if you start thinking
about it. No, scat singing is bad. Even Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, even that, I roll my eyes.
You're putting them down?
There's scat singing moments. I always think it's Ella forgetting the lyrics.
Yeah, I saw her once, and she did that same thing live.
I know. She forgets the lyrics and goes into a scat singing.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to start doing that, Ken, on our radio show. If I ever come up short or can't think of a witty response to something, I'm scat singing. That's my new policy.
I do like Shubie Taylor. Shubie Taylor's the only scat singer I really like.
Huh. I spent forever listening to Annie Ross, who I think is brilliant at stuff like that.
No one's heard of either of those people.
No, I do like Lambert Hendricks and Ross.
Yeah, also
no one's
Swingle
heard
singers.
Of any of these people.
And also Swingle Singers, who do a whole album scat. You know?
Oh, Andy loves the Swingle Singers.
No one here.
Well, he's pretending not to.
No one. Wait, hold on. Let me.
No,
wait,
he's
me...
just he's too busy flossing. Don't take his silence for indifference.
All right, I won't.
So I declare my dislike for scat singing conversation, and you two launch into 8 minutes. Of your scat, of scat singing.
Life is unfair.
Life is certainly unfair.
Okay, you want your next question?
Yes.
This is our last art question, by the way.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Speaking of the Louvre, what is the popular name for its painting, often known to Italians as La Gioconda?
I only know the Mona Lisa. Buzz Mona Lisa.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Dave.
What else?
Good.
Hey, I once wrote a little mystery story, or maybe I stole it, maybe I read it, where some thieves claimed that they've stolen the Mona Lisa, but the art dealer knew it wasn't the genuine Mona Lisa because it was rolled up. The real Mona Lisa was painted on wood. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. That's correct.
Wow, Andy.
I'm impressed.
I know 12 things in this world. That's one of them.
You know, the Mona Lisa has actually been stolen twice.
Yes.
The first time it was stolen, people came to the Louvre to just stare at the space where it had been. More people went there than had gone to see the Mona Lisa.
Well, mentally challenged people.
French people, yeah.
Yeah, French people.
That's the same thing, right?
I think there's an overlap. I think that in the Venn diagram, there's probably an overlap.
I remember just being impressed with how small it was when I saw it.
Which is what everyone says about it. Every student I've talked to always says exactly the same thing.
It's like the size of a postage stamp.
Yeah.
When I first met Ken, that's exactly what I thought. He's very small. He's smaller than I thought.
Okay, three quick music and art questions then, okay?
Okay. Ken, are we on schedule?
We're actually ahead of schedule. We're going to be able to get to more of Fred's questions, I think.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's do our music questions, and then we can have a big tiebreaker if we want.
Okay, good idea. Okay, here's number one. Don McLean's song that starts Starry, Starry Night.
Right.
About what artist?
Buzz. Van Gogh.
Ken Buzz first.
He did. But he doesn't know the answer.
No, I said Van Gogh.
Oh.
I believe. What if? Can I get extra points if I pronounce it correctly?
Sure.
Okay. I believe Ken's trying to refer to Vincent Van
Gogh.
Actually, you're wrong, actually.
Okay. Will you pronounce it for us, Professor?
Van Gogh.
Is it really?
Van Gogh. Yeah, that's
how. Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, you learn something every day.
A Dutch art historian told me this a long time ago.
I wish I was in the room with
you. And what's the true story of the ear being cut off? Why did he really do that?
Well, I'll tell you what my professor told me a long time about that. He never cut off his ear.
Just like the I story, suspected.
The popular story.
I heard it was a flossing accident.
The popular story is that he cut off his ear and he gave it to somebody, some prostitute that he was obsessed with.
Yes.
There's absolutely no evidence that that ever happened. What we do know that happened is that he mutilated himself.
On his ear?
Yes. And, you know, there are paintings of him with the ear bandaged.
Right.
And he mutilated himself because of a love affair that ended?
Or obsession, probably more than love affair.
I thought he was angry at Gauguin because Gauguin wasn't doing the dishes or something.
Oh, the two of them hated each other. Yeah, just go watch that. Yeah, watch that movie of Lust for Life. Yeah,
Van Gogh, I know, was a stickler for clean dishes.
Oh yeah, right. That's
famous.
That's quite clear.
That's quite clear.
Yeah, I don't know how he thought mutilating his ear was gonna, you know, get vengeance on Gauguin. That was kind of a silly idea.
Well, weird guy, you know. What can you say?
Yeah,
I happen to know that it worked. Gauguin was up all night cleaning the whole kitchen.
Yeah, right. Huh. Okay, well, that's great. Next question.
Yeah.
This is a fill in the blank.
Ready. Got it.
The blank is the name of the artist. Okay.
Okay.
Fill in the blank in this song lyric by Jonathan Richman.
Oh, no.
Buzz.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. Ken already knows it.
All right. Go ahead.
Some guys try to pick up girls and get called the asshole, but that never happened to
Pablo Picasso.
You got it. Yep.
Good question.
Really?
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Jonathan, Ken?
I have seen him, but I have never seen him perform.
Oh, really? I saw him once in Chicago. He and the Modern Lover, really marvelous.
Are you guys talking about Jonathan Richman to make me miss the scat conversation?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
How's that working?
You know, I could have guessed that because it rhymed.
Very good.
What other artist would it rhyme with?
Oh, with asshole?
Well, yeah. Here's Jonathan Richman trying to think, what rhymes with Picasso?
Yeah, exactly. He worked backwards from Picasso. Okay, yep. Ready for another?
DeCurico. DeCurico almost rhymes with asshole.
Huh.
This never happened to Giorgio DeCurico.
Although it probably did happen to Giorgio DeCurico.
That's right. That's why I wouldn't guess that.
But that's a very good point, Ken. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh, for the love of God. Teacher's pet. Oh, my God. You're getting enough air up there, Ken? You buried yourself all the way up Fred's ass?
No, there's plenty of air, but I could use a light. Can you hand one up here?
No.
Oh, my God.
A lantern, please.
Ben, I'm getting a little glimpse of how you...
Well, we believe in enlightenment in my department. That's true.
Oh, my God. Kissing ass. All right. Ready to go.
Okay. This is the last one.
Okay.
They Might Be Giants song, Meet James Enzor, is about what country's famous artist?
James Enzor.
Okay. I'm going to guess. Buzz.
Yes.
It's a Hail Mary pass. Wait, they might be Giants. Are they Canadian?
Nope.
They're from Brooklyn.
They're American. From this part of the world, right here.
I believe they live near the border, the Canadian border. They might be...
No.
They live in Brooklyn.
They might travel to Canada quite a bit. I mean, know they live up there in Maine.
They're from New York State. New York State does border Canada. Maybe that's what you're picking up on.
Okay, then I'm going to guess Canada.
Wrong.
I never said it.
I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass on that one. Andy got a negative one. I got a zero.
Fine. Knock yourself out, Ken.
And the correct answer is?
Belgium.
Ah.
Buzz.
What the song says is, meet James Enzor, Belgium's famous painter. Check it out.
Oh, my God. You must have been the best professor. I hope your students appreciated you.
I hope they did, too.
What percentage of your students appreciated you?
That's very hard to tell.
No, it's not. The answer's eight.
Oh, well, all right, then.
Well, Fred, didn't you have a page on ratemyprofessor.com?
Strictly speaking, that is true, yes.
And what
I heard my page was, I heard I got very bad scores on my page.
I spend no time looking at it.
Oh, my God, Andy, is your page still up on Rate My
Does
Professor?
Andy have a page?
Yes, he
Everybody
was.
Everybody got to look for it.
I'm sure I was terrible because I think my kids knew where my head was at.
Oh, my God, we have to look up your Rate My Professor
Everybody
page.
Go look up Andy's page right now.
I'm going to register as soon as this quiz is over. I'm registering.
I'm sure it's as bad as anything.
All right, so let me see. I have 7. I have 7. And Andy has 3. Andy
Well, you know who the real winner was, Ken? The American listening public.
Exactly.
Thank God for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God for that. And congratulations, Ken. Well played.
Do we want a bonus round that's worth 5 points so you can win?
I'd be very grateful. Thank you for that. Yeah.
All right, let's have one. Let's have a bonus round, Fred.
Okay, one last question then.
Okay.
Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is the most basic element of art involved in drawing? Is it color, space, texture, or line?
Buzz.
Yes.
Well. Okay, the obvious answer is line, but I believe the answer is space.
Wow,
you're going for space?
Yeah, because that's the correct answer. But the professor threw in the word line to as a sucker bait.
Mm-hmm.
It's so catfishing. He was catfishing us with the D.
So what does Ken say about that?
Well, I'm going to pass.
Oh, okay.
Andy's going with space. What's your answer?
Line, of course.
Oh, there it is.
It was staring him in the face the whole time.
So I'm at minus 30 or something?
Yeah, Andy's the great overthinker.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It is absolutely true. I try to outthink. To me, every question is like a chess match.
You know, Andy, the old saying about that is think twice before thinking.
Oh, that's a great advice for kids that are doing multiple choice.
Yep.
When you give multiple choice, your advice is don't go with your first impulsive thought.
Actually, I virtually never give multiple choices except here. What I usually tell students is when you're trying to identify an image, and also I usually show people pictures and ask them who did them.
Yeah.
I usually say your first impression is your best one. Usually, most people talk themselves out of the answer instead of talking themselves into the answer.
But those kind of quizzes are also great because you can't cheat. You can't just go AI and write have a computer write a response.
Yep, and that's another thing we like about them. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then do you walk around museums every free day? Washington has a number of them, doesn't it?
Yes, it has a whole hell of a lot of them, actually. I used to work at one of them.
And do you come up to New York to walk around museums?
Of course I do. In fact, I was just walking around museums there about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, next time you come up, my wife and I will meet you and walk around. I'd love to walk around a museum with you, with someone that knows what the hell they're looking at.
But Andy, that means you have to go inside the museum.
Yeah, even though 90% of it is crap.
Well, Fred and Andy, we are out of time. I should have given you 4 minutes notice, but we're coming up on 29 minutes. So, Fred, thank you so much for a great quiz.
Yeah,
my
Fred.
It was really
great meeting you.
All right. The feeling is mutual.
All right. See
Should
you on
I
the
I'm honored.
See you on the radio, Fred. See you, Andy.
Okay, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you to Professor Fred from Washington for that quiz on art history. And thanks also to listener David from Queens, who gave us the quiz on porn history in the first half of the program tonight. Next week on 7 Second Delay, I'm honestly not sure. Andy will either not be here again or he will be Skyping in. He is out not winning the award for Outstanding Producer of Televised or Streamed Motion Picture at the Producers Guild Awards in L.A. So that's what we have to look forward to next week. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay tuned. Up next is Matt Fivesh and Weekly World Blues. Give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Andy Brickman, man.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.